American Journal with Chase Geyser. A testament to America's resilience and resolve.
After somehow triggering pagers, radios, mobile phones, and solar panels to indiscriminately explode in public places within Lebanon, more innocent lives have been cut short by the terrorist state of Israel.
This is a heinous act of terrorism. We understand perfectly well that with such actions, they are trying to bring the region to a global confrontation, to strike children, civilians, women, in order to stir up public sentiment and set the Middle East on fire so that it's all in flames. But there is another important point. This is a terrorist attack that obviously could not have been carried out by a suicidal loner or just a suicide bomber or someone in a state of complete madness. This is a terrorist attack planned with a cool hand, an extensively planned one. All the signs are there of an international terrorist attack, because it is obvious that in order to gather such a large amount of equipment, it had to be brought in crossing several borders. Obviously, there is an international trail in this, and it should be investigated accordingly. Now the reaction of the West should be indicative. If the West remains silent and, as always, does not insist on an investigation, does not talk about human rights, does not repeat its rhetoric of many years, which they have used in similar cases when terrorist acts were committed on their territory, then this will be proof of their direct engagement.
While the majority of the world cries out for an end to this maniacal bloodshed, in America, the political left, the religious right, and the brainwashed masses are all in. It seems like Americans just can't get enough war. As Ukraine attacks deep in Russia, Israel has now begun heavy bombing in Lebanon, which signals the beginning of something much bigger.
Is this the beginning of a major regional confrontation between Lebanon and its allies and Israel?
I think so. The Israelis have said that the reason they initiated this cyber attack, probably one of the largest in history, was because the Arabs were beginning to catch on. In other words, people in Hezbollah and in Lebanon and probably the Iranians had begun to figure out or at least detect that something like this could happen. And so they felt that they had to initiate it quickly in order to derive some benefit from it. I think the issue right now is not whether or not we're going to support them. We've made it very clear that if they go into Lebanon and this war widens, that we will support them. So I don't think there's much question there. The problem is, how long can we keep all the ships at sea? And I think we're going to see this offensive into Lebanon start fairly quickly now, because we're telling Mr. Netanyahu, we can't sit around waiting for you to do something. So if you're going to do something, you'd better do it quickly, because we can't be out here much longer. But no, we're going to support the Israelis. There's no question about that. And I think they all know that if they back away from their original goals, which is to essentially eliminate the Arab populations in the West Bank and Gaza, that's really where they want to go, and now in southern Lebanon, that they're going to have to accept something else. So I think the Israeli government, the Israeli people, the Israeli Defense Force, everyone is in the same boat. It's either we win or we go down with the ship, which is a terrible position to be in. And no one in Washington seems to be interested in helping them out. I mean, we think we're helping them by giving them anything they want. In fact, we've put them on a road to suicide, in my judgment.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, folks, stay with us. We're going to be back on the other side. One-minute break with Ed Zoll. It's going to be an amazing guest, amazing broadcast. Stick with us. Make sure you go to InfoWarsStore.com. In the meantime, more on the other side.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance, or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, folks. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. I am joined by Ed Zoll. He's the host of The Agenda on X and a producer of Died Suddenly. He's with us today to talk about one of Kamala's biggest scandals that no one is talking about. Ed, love your work. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on InfoWars this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Chase. The honor is all mine. You guys do amazing work over there. We try to do our best to support the InfoWar. And I'll tell you, this story is right up the alley of deep state corruption. And I think that you have a legacy of covering. Kamala Harris is not only corrupt, she's got her own Hunter Biden. As you kind of previewed here, his name is Tony West. And my goodness, I can't believe this story is not the biggest national political scandal right now. But again, that's why we're here. We're going to try to make as much noise as we can about this before the election.
So what's the deal?
So the deal is Tony West was named by the ABC whistleblower. And this is in relation to the debate. There was a whistleblower that came forward and said there was three questions that Kamala Harris specifically asked to not be asked during the debate. One of them was about Joe Biden's health. The other was about her time as district attorney and attorney general of California, which also involves Mr. West. And the last one was literally to not talk about a $1 billion embezzlement scheme that Tony West, a lawyer, someone who's married into the Kamala Harris family, he's married to Kamala's sister, Maya, that this man not only orchestrated, but has become like the mastermind of and has used this again to enrich both Democrat friends, lawyers, politicians, anybody who's willing to help the deep state Democrat cause. They've made money through this scheme.
Wow. Wow. So obviously in our current political landscape, corruption abounds on both sides of the political spectrum. Every day we hear about the Diddys and the Epsteins and the Hunter Bidens and then rumors and reports, which are mostly lies, if not all lies, about any number of the Trump family, right? Or any members of his administration. Steve Bannon, for example, is accused of embezzlement or some form of fraud with money that he raised. How is this one different? How does this one hit in a way that gets through the callus that, as the American listener, we've developed to this level of corruption?
Well, I think that this one's different because it's like an active scheme. It's one that is going to get used if Kamala Harris wins. Not only the fact because the Democrats have used it in the past, but because Tony West is slated to become Kamala Harris's White House counsel. He will literally be advising her and handling all legal and political business for Kamala Harris if she wins in November. Now, this also is tied in specifically with how the government kind of operates in secrecy.
Yeah.
Because the way that Tony West was able to enrich people and really to the heart of this $1 billion embezzlement scheme, he was basically able to take over a part of the Department of Justice that deals with civil litigation and settlements. Now, you and I, Chase, I mean, especially InfoWars, you guys have been censored. You've been attacked. You're probably, again,
been in civil litigation.
Well, exactly. You've been in civil litigation probably that could be settled by the same litigation fund. But obviously it's not being, right? Because it's only used for the friends of evil. But in respect to this, the fund that was placed in charge of is under the Civil Litigations Division It's a Treasury Department fund. This is Toni West you see on screen with Kamala. They're besties. And she takes a lot of advice from all the way back to her district attorney races in California. But Toni was able to basically settle a $4.4 billion diversity, equality, and inclusion lawsuit that involved farmers. I'm actually going to be speaking with Representative Steve King, a former congressman out of Iowa, about this next week. He was actually one of the congressmen trying to raise awareness about this being from a farming state. But this lawsuit that he got settled, a lot of people know about the details of this because the fund, which Toni was using, it's called the Judgment Fund. They don't publish any receipts. The New York Times even did an investigation into them, and they stated that there's literally no accountability, no congressional oversight. I mean, President Trump's aware of this, by the way, Chase. When he won in 2016, he ordered Jeff Sessions to basically make this illegal. That was one of the first things Jeff Sessions did before he did those other things, which we don't love Jeff Sessions for. But the first thing the Biden administration did when they came into office was make this legal again. And in regard to this $4.4 billion sum, it's the biggest one I've found so far that was orchestrated by Toni West. There is a lawyer that was on the Biden and Obama transition team that cleared about $130 million in legal fees. Because that's how the kickbacks work. I mean, you and I mean, the American people, Chase, we're all hurting right now. Inflation's through the roof. You know, gold might be up, but our paychecks aren't. I mean, the American people are starving right now. But the Democrats have been enriching themselves. And this is specifically a way they've been doing it. We say they enrich themselves. We say they're corrupt. But we have the receipts here. They have been paying themselves millions and even billions of dollars through these kickback schemes of the Department of Justice.
So let's break it down. I know you just explained it, but for the sake of the audience and myself, how does this scheme work exactly? So Toni West wants to do this scheme. What are the decisions that he makes? How does the kickback work? Can you just break it down in layman's terms very simply for how this fraud works?
Yes. So Toni West is basically placed in charge of deciding if the Department of Justice should settle and for how much. He's a negotiator. Okay. And so he looks at the slate of cases in front of the Department of Justice. And according to an email that he literally sent his deputies, and his deputies said to the rest of the team, he from the get-go was trying to find cases specifically that could enrich Democrat causes and also exclude conservative ones. So when he picks a case, he says, oh, you know, this is a terrible misjustice. Yeah. What I should do in this case is we should settle. We should try to get the victim some money. And then he goes in and says, we're going to inflate the price. They actually started out at under $1 billion for the victims, and it somehow inflated to $4.4 billion. He also tries to find new plaintiffs, which is completely against the interests of the Department of Justice, you know, the American people, the American government. He tries to find more people that can be signed on to the case. In the case of the 90-plus Hispanic and female farmers that were involved in the lawsuit with the Department of Justice, he found American Indians, for example, that could join as victims, and they could also get a payout. Every time there's a new victim, Chase, there's a new lawyer, which means more lawyer fees. So if you know a bunch of lawyers, a bunch of corrupt lawyers, a bunch of Democrat Party kind of embedded lawyers, guess what? You found them a job. You found them a paycheck. And Chase, there was an example I found in this. This was like a religious thing too for Toni West. Some of the lawyers that were involved in this, we found in going through the documents, they were emailing each other saying they should build statues and worship them every single morning. The statues of Toni West, because of how much money they were getting. One case was like $200,000 in one of the lawyer payouts regarding one of these cases that Toni West settled. So he became the master of settlements for his buddies to get rich.
Now, is there evidence of kickback directly to him? So imagine if InfoWars got sued and I conspired with the people suing us and I agreed or manipulated internally to ensure that they had a greater settlement than they deserved, and I could work out a deal, right, where I would get kickback. Is there any evidence of that yet, or is that to be discovered?
Well, I believe I found some evidence of this. And of course, Chase, you never would do anything like this because you're an ethical individual. So this man's not. And one of the things I found that I think could be classified as a kickback, darn well might be a in-kind donation of form, is that one of the cases he settled was in relation to Volkswagen. So you've seen over the last couple of years, the globalist agenda to try to bring in electric cars and replace fossil fuels.
Right, and they were lying about their emissions years ago, right?
Exactly. And so this is Volkswagen. They were lying about their emissions. And as part of the punishment, Toni West was involved in basically extorting Volkswagen, Congress had turned down a settlement, had turned down a deal with Volkswagen for about $2 billion. And the deal here was, however, that when it came to this, if Volkswagen agreed to pay for a White House EV project, then the charges would be dropped. Settlement wouldn't be an issue. This is what happened. And then Tony West, you know, he's very slick. He just spoke at the DNC. You listen to him, he sounds like a new Barack Obama. And they're buddies, by the way, too.
Everybody's trying to in regard sound like to Barack his kickback,
Obama. Well, everyone wants to sound like him on the Democrat
side. Let me be clear. Yeah, unbelievable. Well, it's crazy to see him photographed with Eric Holder, because Eric Holder basically had the same scheme, only in a different department, where he would disproportionately or only audit conservative voters or conservative organizations, right? That was the major scandal under the Obama administration, that Eric Holder was doing the same thing. Now we have Tony West doing a very similar scheme, but it's about civil settlements instead of audits, right? So Eric Holder, go ahead.
Do you know who did that for Eric Holder?
No.
It was Tony West.
Wow.
Tony West was the secret lawyer who was behind it. Again, I was in the same situation you are. Until I saw the ABC whistleblower's affidavit, I didn't know who Tony West was. I looked up the story. I was like, who is Mr. West? Who is Tony West? I've never heard this name before. And I just fell down an enormous rabbit hole.
So it's obviously unethical. Is it illegal? Like, insider trading is unethical for our leaders to do, but they have protected themselves legally to do it. Is this brazenly a violation of the law?
I believe so. And of course, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm looking at the duty that Tony West had to protect and be a good steward of the funds that he was doling out. I would say it's not only a conflict of interest, but if he conspired with the lawyers on the other side, he inspired to look for companies and individuals, and to include opposing attorneys like Mr. Sellers, who clearly he knows. It's not an idiotic thing to kind of point to say that they definitely knew each other, because they are now working with each other as advisors to the Kamala Harris campaign. But I would say it's definitely illegal in the sense that it's embezzlement. And embezzlement's a strong thing to say. A lot of people have been careful with this, Chase, because he is a lawyer. Tony West is a powerful lawyer. He actually was the lawyer for a man referred to as the American Taliban. This is one of the first cases that Tony West ever got involved with. We wouldn't have heard of his name back then either. But he represented a man in 2004 that basically was helping the Taliban, had been involved with providing material support, which led to the deaths of American citizens. And he worked to get him a sweetheart deal to basically now be free. This man basically was a member of the Taliban, okay? Mm-hmm. And now he's walking free because of Tony West. Tony West has a certain way of doing things. And one of the best ways he can do this is through the corrupt legal system. And Tony West, by the way, you mentioned P. Diddy, you mentioned scandals. There is even a P. Diddy connection to this. So in researching this story, I was looking into Uber, because this is where Tony went to an Uber. They benefit greatly from the EV settlement, because Uber wants to replace all drivers and want to replace human beings to just have autonomous cars that charge themselves and pick you up and drop off your meals. And you never leave home. You never own anything. But when it comes to Uber, there is a huge investor named Ron Burkle. He's a billionaire. Now, he's one of the biggest investors in Uber. And this is someone that Tony West would definitely know. Because in addition to being a huge investor in Uber, he is the second largest donor to the Harris campaign. Now, Tony West is formally advising them. Now, how this ties into P. Diddy is Mr. Ron Burkle in 2004, he decided to save another one of his friends, a man by the name of Sean Diddy Combs. He invested $100 million in 2004 in Sean Jean as they're about to go bankrupt. This is a time period, by the way, that is directly being looked at for the sex trafficking, the abuse, and the 1,000 bottles of baby oil, you know, all the nasty things that are going on with P. Diddy. This man, Ron Burkle, who helped Uber, helped Harris, he also helped Diddy get away with all the crimes that he was doing back then by Diddy not going bankrupt. This is something, again, I'm going to keep looking into as I go deeper. If you've seen all the photos with Diddy, all the photos with these billionaires, why is it that the Democrats' mega donors, like Ed Burke's another one, you remember the guy that got caught with a dead black man in his home in California? Mm-hmm. Why is it all the Democrat donors, the ones behind their campaign, they're always involved in some kind of sex scandal, some kind of killing, some kind of cabal? Well, it's because their party is literally evil. And of course, Tony West is the
blackmail ring all set up. Now, have you found any evidence of any of these settlements, any of this embezzlement involving any organizations, businesses, or funds that maybe Kamala's husband's involved with or other relatives are involved with? Is there any way that this actually goes back to Kamala directly? Because one of the main criticisms about the Hunter Biden thing, even though for those of us who pay attention, it was very obvious that Joe Biden was getting direct kickback from his son's crimes, no doubt about it. But a lot of people said, oh, Hunter Biden's not running for president. They're going to say the same thing here. They're going to say Tony West isn't running for president. Kamala Harris is. Is there a way to tie them together more intimately other than the fact that they're related?
Well, I think that the easiest way to tie them together is that he will be the White House counsel.
Yes.
Now, the White House counsel is not just in charge of defending the president. But they're involved in all the litigation, all the opposition research. They're involved in every aspect of the president's schedule, the president's politics, and the president's affairs. So I'd say that that's the first and foremost. It's so different, actually, maybe worse than Hunter Biden. It's worse that they're not not just related, not through the marriage. It's worse because he will literally be working for President Harris if President Harris gets in. But right now, formally, he's advising the campaign. He's traveling with Kamala Harris. He spoke on her behalf at the DNC. It's not something that can just be dismissed. And honestly, looking at this, it's clear that Tony West is an agent of Barack Obama. It's one of the, I'd say, handlers that Barack Obama has brought in to ensure that Kamala Harris serves his and Michelle's interests. He's the kind of man you bring in as a fixer. It's the kind of man you bring in if you need something kind of greased. You need something, right.
He's like
especially
the wolf
a scandal
from Pulp Fiction.
Coming up. Now, what did you say?
He's like the wolf from Pulp Fiction.
Yes, he 100% is like the wolf. And I think that as a wolf, he is not only preying on the American people's funds, he's also trying to play the race politics. I mean, this is one of the first things one of his staff pointed out is that when it comes to these settlements, they were definitely race motivated. They were definitely race motivated. It's almost as if he was like trying to stoke a race war through these settlements and through these lawsuits. Because every time there's a settlement, what is the first thing you think, Chase? You think that the side that settled was in the fault, was in wrong.
Right.
They must have
discriminated.
Why would they settle? Exactly. So by doing this, he made a precedent in the civil litigation division. You can almost say he started this new wave of DEI policy. Because this lawsuit, this settlement that the DOJ committed $4.4 billion to, this is now pointed at by all the civil litigation, DEI attorneys and policy holders. And that's what he did at Uber, too. He started the corporate trend to think about people not based on meritocracy, based on how competent they are. But instead, now you look at the skin color. I mean, the skin color doesn't mean anything as an American. I mean, I'm a Brit, came over to this country. I served in the military. Oh, well, maybe I should just use my my Indian heritage or something to get ahead. But it just feels wrong, right? But we want to get ahead through our actions, through our work, and that's the American dream, that's the American spirit. It ties back directly to Kamala Harris because they're doing the complete opposite, and this is the agent of it.
You know, it's crazy to see this weaponization. It seems like every time the left and the right, anytime the political class enacts a new policy, it somehow seems to create an industry around it. And all of those people that monetize that industry seem to be very close to the policy being created in the first place. And it's so much easier to be reckless with taxpayer money than your own money. So a lot of the behaviors that you see from these institutions, these organizations, these administrations are totally counterintuitive to those of us who've worked in the private sector and understand how business works. Like the notion that you would be representing an organization and it would be in your best interest for them to settle when they wouldn't normally settle because it's financially incentivizing you makes no sense in the private sector. It only makes sense when you're abusing someone else's money, in this case, taxpayer money.
100%, Chase, and I know that you understand this field that I'm about to talk about. You've employed artificial intelligence in a very creative way, especially for InfoWars and all the production you do for Alex. Think about how AI could be used by Tony West and his team to micro-target settlements or even try to approach people to sue the government.
Right.
Because again, this fund is secret. There's no government oversight, no congressional oversight. Even the Government Accountability Office has no idea how much is paid out through this. It's basically an endless check written by the Treasury Department. Now, think about this. If you use a large language model like Llama and you program in, okay, we're looking for lawsuits. We're looking for news stories that we can try to find both plaintiffs and issues for. Pair them together, and then maybe even just tie the large language model directly to the Treasury Department's judgment fund. So it almost like automates the payment process. The Democrats are so crazy. Maybe they're not actually competent enough to pull off what I just said, but the ability to do this is right in front of us. And the fact that he worked for Uber, this man's not stupid. I think if he'd had access to the same large language model, technology, the AI now through ChatGPT-4 and above, I think Tony West would have done this. He definitely did it to a degree through networking and through his connections in the Democratic Party while he was serving Barack Obama. I mean, this man goes back to Clinton. By the way, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, I found that the same settlement process after he left the Department of Justice was then used for their case. That's how they got their payout for coming out against President Trump, for saying that they had an insurance policy against President Trump getting elected.
That's bombshell.
That's how they got paid. Yeah. And as I'm going through more of these, Chase, I'm finding every civil settlement comes back to this judgment fund that Tony West weaponized. Every single time someone's paid out and not paid out, by the way, think about all the J6 defendants, all the people that have been held in the gulag, or InfoWars, who's gotten censored illegally, gotten attacked. You should be getting something at this point, some kind of damages from the Department of Justice, but you are specifically excluded based on what Tony West did, based on what Tony West set up. Because this already happened. You mentioned Eric Holder. Tony West was the architect of making sure one of the bank crisis settlement schemes, this is the mortgage crisis back in 2009 and after, he made sure that no conservative organizations, no conservative like landowners could join that. But the Democrats got paid out after the Democrats also orchestrated the banking crisis. So this is not going to help us. Like some people might say, Chase, oh, well, why don't we just get into office and then weaponize this fund for ourselves? Well, you can't do good with evil. All right. The truth is we have to get rid of these corrupt processes. And this is specifically one. If you've ever wondered how the Department of Justice is corrupt, the judgment fund is bona fide proof of that corruption and evil.
Well, it also explains the ridiculous policies and initiatives, too. This explains ESG. This explains DEI. This is a direct link, a monetary link that explains the true incentive behind this policy. It's a policy that's totally useless, unnecessary, not needed, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But it's very easy to litigate on these issues because they're highly subjective and they're very sensitive, and juries want to be sensitive to these issues. They don't want to be perceived as racist or sexist or anything else, xenophobic. And so this makes sense. This is the money grab. This is the ESG, DEI money grab. This is just one example. Those are just a couple of examples of how this plays out. But if we thought the military industrial complex was bad, this is like the political industrial complex, the way our institutions are used and weaponized exclusively by our enemies. And this is one of the things that we've noticed over the last several years with the DOJ, for example, this disproportionate application of the law where only the likes of Donald Trump get persecuted or prosecuted. Only the J6 protesters get prosecuted, but then none of the Black Lives Matter protesters or George Floyd protesters got prosecuted for doing much worse. And the problem is when you have your political opposition in control of institutions like the Department of Justice, then only one side is going to get justice and it won't even be just.
100%. I mean, you look at, again, the way that Barack Obama used the Department of Justice, used the military, used every aspect, every agency under the executive branch. I think he came in with the intent to corrupt and desecrate the institutions and to make money. I mean, Barack Obama, like many politicians, came into office poorer than he left. He left the White House and now, again, is walking around running the Republicans and Democrats to a degree, running the Republicans by basically having dirt, these other things, on some of the neocons, running the Democrats through Kamala Harris. But he does this as basically a hundred millionaire now. How does he make all this money? Well, it's because of the things they did. I mean, Fast and Furious was a prime example.
Ed Saul, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you. You're an outstanding guest. Follow him at DiedSuddenly_ or go to his website, DiedSuddenly.info. Ed Saul, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Lay down your arms, you damn rebels!
My God, we will have them all! Ah!
We are not descended from fearful men. Think about that. All the liberties and freedoms and the incredible prosperity we've had in America is because our ancestors were recognized the world over when historians from China and Europe and you name it came here and wrote books 250 years ago, 150 years ago, 60 years ago. They marveled even 30 years ago at the ingenuity and the strength and the will and the wild, wild west attitude of the American people. Everywhere else had hegemonic royalty and empires and dynasties that didn't like competition and kept their thumb firmly on the people. America wasn't perfect by a long shot, but compared to the rest of the world, we were the best house in a bad neighborhood. And that's what InfoWars is about, exposing the globalists, the BlackRocks, the central banks, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, who literally, in their own publications, admit they want to destroy the idea of America and Christianity in the West so the world has nothing to aspire to and descends into globalist tyranny. They have to erase our culture. And InfoWars is about rediscovering that culture and having a 2.0 Americana and stopping the globalists and every operation they launch against us. So we're announcing something very, very exciting so that you can fight the info war in the third dimension, on the ground, not just cyberspace, meet like-minded people, and keep this broadcast on the air, and hopefully even expand it. We've launched thealexjonesstore.com. There are over 40 now amazing t-shirt designs that are extremely popular, designed by one of the top Patriot apparel producers in the country. Over 30 ball caps as well, and a lot of new items, collectible knives, high-quality supplements. They're all on the way as well. So if you want to keep the transmission on the air, and you want to get incredible t-shirts, designs, new ones coming out every few days, they're limited edition, then go to thealexjonesstore.com. And when you go there, put your email in for free. Don't have to buy anything. You get put in a raffle for $10,000 free cash. Every few months, there's going to be a new big giveaway, a sweepstakes, and 138,000 monster incredible Dodge truck, which experts say right now is the baddest, coolest, most powerful truck on the market. That's $138,000 value. With $10,000, that's $140,000+ value right there. And every time you buy a product, a t-shirt, bumper stickers, 1776 bracelets that are super inexpensive, you get entered 5 to 10 times, depending on the day you go and purchase products into the raffle. But that's fun and great to do, and it's exciting. But the real issue here is keeping the operation on the air and wearing your colors loud and proud. I'm telling you, when you wear these shirts out in public, you will meet the patriots. It is amazing. The left's so stupid, they don't even know what most of these shirts mean. So now let me real fast just show you some of the best-selling designs at thealexjonesstore.com. But be sure and go there, because there's a bunch of designs I'm not going to show you, and more are getting added all the time. This is already a very popular shirt. I've not just seen this online. I've seen people wearing this in Austin, Texas, in New York City, or a similar shirt. So, Alex Jones is my spirit animal. This is a great conversational piece. It'll also trigger libtards. Get your limited edition shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. Your host today, Harrison Smith, will be hosting the Sunday Night Live show at 6 p.m. on Sunday, as well as this show, his show, every day next week. Great things happening here at InfoWars. It's going to be an exciting weekend for Alex and myself and some of the crew. And you'll see more about that next week. All right, folks. We just had an awesome conversation with Ed Zoll about Tony West, his connection to Kamala Harris, his revelations and reporting and undercover investigative journalism that's discovered the extent of this embezzlement and the weaponization of our systems for the sake of lining the pockets of the political class. It's the same story told different ways. It's a motif that we have this corruption, which has reached such an extent that if we do not win the election on November 5th, it is probably too late. It's probably game over. So despite the fact that Kamala Harris pre-negotiated, according to this whistleblower with ABC, what topics would or could and could not be covered, things like her record, things like Joe Biden's health,
things like her brother-in-law's corruption, I would be remiss not to show you who Kamala Harris really is. Let's run this ad. This is clip number 20. Who is Kamala Harris, after all?
I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
Who really is Kamala Harris? She's been telling us her entire career.
I support our sanctuary law.
The illegal immigrant deported multiple times who stands accused of killing Kate Steinle.
An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
Everyone also have the courage to reject that term illegal alien.
Are you aware that there's a perception? Are you aware that there's a
that
perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me?
Abolish ICE.
Yeah. Is that a position that you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the border as criminals.
I am opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health.
Will you be committing to close immigration detention centers?
Absolutely, on day one.
How can she have some bright consequences the last 3.5 years? 10 million illegal encounters, 2 million gotaways, 600% increase in sex trafficking, more terrorists coming across the border, a record number of people off the terrorist watch list, and over 250,000 Americans dead from fentanyl that comes across the border. Consequences, there won't be consequences for her failure.
We have a secure border. The border is secure.
Sickening new details about the murder of Georgia nursing student Laken Riley. The 22-year-old was beaten to death with a mystery object.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't...
Kamala Harris, do you trust her to stop the invasion?
Unbelievable. The woman responsible for keeping people imprisoned beyond the length of their sentence so they could provide labor for contractors in California. The woman responsible for arresting single mothers because their children were truant from school. The woman arrested for locking up hundreds, if not thousands, of people for petty marijuana charges in California. The woman responsible for the border who allowed the invasion of the United States, not only allowed it, but sponsored it. The woman running for president now who promises to do everything she was incapable of accomplishing over the course of the last 3 years. The woman who has no children of her own, but says that your children belong to her and the community, not to you, the parents. That's who Kamala Harris is. And there was a brief moment in our conversation with Ed Sahls in the last segment where it came up whether or not this was an incompetence thing. Are they stupid? Here's the deal. These people are not stupid. They are just foolish. They are incredibly savvy at gaining and expanding power, at exploiting institutions and organizations and infrastructure of our government, at taking advantage of the American people on a massive, unprecedented scale and not being held accountable for it. They are incredibly competent and smart at evil, at corruption, at politics. But they are foolish because they believe in a worldview, a political philosophy, an ideology that only amounts to death and pain and suffering, even for them, despite their efforts to wield it and exploit it. They are foolish because they choose to take the ring of power for themselves instead of casting it into the flame. They're not stupid. They're just fools. And this foolishness cannot be empowered by the American people. Or if we do empower it, then we ourselves are fools. We have to wake up. So now that we know who Kamala Harris is, why don't we hear from somebody the other day, quote number 24, who told a story about how the Trump family, not hearing stories like Tony West embezzling and manipulating, or Hunter Biden leveraging his father's position for millions of dollars and then giving him kickback after millions of dollars are sent to contractors. This is what Trump's family was like, clip 24.
I have an amazing story to tell you real quick about what President Trump's father, Fred Trump, did for myself, for my brother, for my sister, for my mother. 1974, my dad suffered a major heart attack. I went to the same school as Donald Trump, the Kew Forest School. 3 days after my father's burial, there was a knock on the door one school morning, 7 a.m. I answered the door. It's a distinguished gentleman. I was 10 years old. My father just died. gentleman said, kid, call your mom. I called my mom from upstairs. She came down. Gentleman said to my mom, I am Fred Trump, Donald's father. And my mom says, yes, I know Donald went to the Q Forest School. And Mr. Fred Trump said to my mom, yes, Mrs. Rem, very sorry about Joseph's death. And what you don't know is I'm still on the Board of Trustees at the Q Forest School. And this morning, I let Headmaster Mr. Philip Rogers know that from this day forward, myself, Fred Trump, out of my own pocket, is going to pay for your three children's tuition because I don't want the kids to have to go back into the public school system. And the tuition in 1974 was $2,500 per child, $7,500, which is about $80,000, $100,000 in today's money. And who would do that except the President Trump's father? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, and they give the Trump family grief. The Trump family is a wonderful family, the entire family, sorry. And who else? Can you picture Joseph Biden or Kamala Harris doing that? No. All they care about is buying another mansion. I'm going to tell you, the Trump family is wonderful. I love you, Donald. I wish I could shake your hand. It was my mother's last dying wish to shake your hand and to thank your father, Fred Trump, for what he did for us kids in 1974 in Forest Hills, New York. I love you, President.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much.
There are those who give, and there are those who take. There are those who serve and those who exploit. We're going to run clip three here. It's satire, but it's so real and it's so prescient and appropriate given Gavin Newsom's attack on free speech this week, announcing that he will litigate anyone who uses AI or memes or disinformation in a political capacity in the state of California. Well, we know who Kamala is and we know who the Trumps are now. Who is Gavin Newsom? Let's see what his leadership has done for America.
Hi, I'm Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. This is a message for the people of America, given in my authentically recorded non-AI voice. Thanks to my leadership over the last several years, California has become a world leader in extremist left-wing governance. My policies were so effective that almost 1 million people are now fleeing the state every year. We even ran out of U-Hauls. During the COVID pandemic, I locked everyone in their homes and shut down businesses for months. Not the French Laundry, though. That's my favorite restaurant. Last year, I cleaned up the dangerous, messy streets of San Francisco, you know, because Chinese Communist President Xi was coming, and I really wanted to impress him. He's my boss, after all. This year, I signed legislation that allows me to take custody of your kid if you refuse to give him artificial hormones and chop off his genitals. Because if you don't do that, you're a bigot, and bigots shouldn't be allowed to have kids. I've also led the way in green energy by banning all cars that don't run on electricity. Then I banned almost all the electricity. This is smart leadership. On my watch, the cost of living and homelessness have skyrocketed. Schools are failing. Drug dealers and human traffickers are pouring across the border. And poop has covered the sidewalks of San Francisco. This is the positive, joyful vision we offer as Democrats. That's why I'm enthusiastically endorsing Kamala Harris for president in 2024. She'll do to the country everything I did in California. Anyway, I'm California Governor Gavin Newsom, and I approve this 100% real message, which is a recording of my voice without the assistance of any AI whatsoever. This isn't a deep fake, and you can rest assured that it isn't, because I just signed an unconstitutional law outlawing deep fakes. No one would dare violate it. Thank you, and science bless America.
And let's see what their policies are doing to average Americans, working class Americans. Let's see what it's doing to the American people who are struggling in this economy because of inflation and 100,000 fentanyl overdoses every single year and the mental health crisis and the obesity crisis and all of the problems that we face because of this leftist policy, where they would do everything they can to import insulin for you, rather than actually help you lose weight. Well, they would do everything they can to ensure that fentanyl can just come across the border. Instead of, I don't know, maybe putting people in a position or a situation where they're connected to the community and they don't suffer from addiction. You realize that every 1% unemployment goes up, 40,000 people are estimated to die of stress-related deaths, heart attacks, things of that nature. And they brag, unemployment's at record lows. Yeah, because everyone's working three part-time jobs to make ends meet. So they're technically employed, but they're struggling and suffering. Unemployment for the black community was 0% in 1860. Didn't make it right. Didn't make it good. It's not some universal truth. We are all slaves to the system because of the leadership, and our children are suffering and our families are suffering, but they don't care because they don't even believe in family itself. This is clip number 16 of Vivek hearing this terrifying story from a mother in Springfield, Ohio.
Hi. So I have a young daughter. I have two daughters, actually. Sure. And one of my daughter is younger. So I want to talk about the crime a little bit.
Sure.
Personal crime. So she's been followed around Walmart. She's been stalked. She ran to her car, threw her stuff down, ran to her car. She was chased. Okay. They were immigrants. She was chased by a man with a machete on her way to work. Called the police. She told them what had happened and wanted to file a report. 2 hours later, the police still had not called her back and never checked on the crime. So that's how you know there's no crime in Springfield, because no one's reporting it.
That was your daughter. Does she have any sense for whether those were illegal immigrants into the country? I mean, she probably wasn't conversing with them while they're chasing her with a machete, but... Okay, readily identified. See, here's the thing, and it's uncomfortable to say this, but it's true. If your first act of entering the country breaks the law, then you're more likely to break the law when you're already here, right? And this is... I don't like just talking about the easy issues. Let's talk about the hard issues. I mean, they hit President Trump a lot for the so-called... The one they really tried to nail him for was the family separation policy, right?
Right.
Anybody in this room know how many mothers in the United States of America are in prison right now? It's about 350,000, actually. And I have a book coming out next week, and I've got a Fox Nation special coming out next week. It's called Truths. Lays out a lot of these hard truths. That's one of the truths. It's a hard truth. It's about 350,000 mothers who are in prison. You know who we don't make them take with them? We don't make them take their kids.
Their children.
Right?
Yeah, they're all up.
And we say that, you know, that's a difficult situation, but you deal with it in a different way. And so I think we have to restore the culture of the rule of law in this country. In this town alone, double the number of shoplifting crimes in the last 2 years. 2 years is not a long time for shoplifting rates to double. Auto thefts are up by over 50% in that same time frame. And as you said, based on your daughter's story, that's against the backdrop of many of them likely even going unreported. We got to restore that culture of the rule of law. But part of the reason we're seeing this too is that those, many illegal immigrants into this country, many other criminals in this country, when they see the top law enforcement agencies in the United States of America themselves not following the law, then they rightly ask the question, well, why the heck should I have to follow the law anyway? So top to bottom and bottom to top, we have to restore the rule of law in the United States. It's who we are. And that's how we save this country.
And the Democrats advocate for democracy, the representation of the people, the interests of the people. They say democracy over and over again, despite the fact that it's mentioned zero times in the Constitution of the United States. And what they want to do is they want to weaponize the mob when it's convenient to them for their political interests, but then they want to totally deny every individual their rights, which is very undemocratic. They want to take people off of ballots, which is undemocratic. They want to force people like RFK Jr. to stay on ballots even when they don't want to be on ballots, which is also undemocratic. They want to persecute and prosecute their political opponents, which is very undemocratic. And they want to categorize an entire swath of the population, basically half the population, is white supremacists or domestic terrorists. And of course, if you're a terrorist, you don't have the same rights than if you're a regular citizen of the country, which is a very undemocratic thing to do. And they also want to install Kamala Harris as the Democratic primary candidate for president of the United States with zero votes, which is fairly undemocratic. Frankly, I think we're seeing some of these problems here because we've been lied to and deceived by Democrats, Republicans too, about their motives and intentions and the nature of their philosophy and leadership. It seems like they just exploit the will of the people when it's convenient and then stab them in the back when they look the other way. Let's see what J.D. Vance said in clip number 22 to Tucker Carlson about whether or not we live in a democracy.
There's so much money behind keeping them in place.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
Well, I think what you have to do is, first of all, you have to go at the heart of the people who actually drive public opinion and drive the decisions that are made in this country. I mean, we don't, Tucker, the reason why all these popular things don't happen, like why aren't we deporting illegal aliens? Why aren't we cutting off the money spigot that goes to illegal aliens? Why aren't we stopping sending thousands of American kids to die overseas in some pointless war? It's because in reality, right now, we don't live in a real democracy in this country, right? The people who call the shots in this country have further and further divorced themselves from any kind of real democratic accountability, right? So ask yourself, in 2008, did America have a real choice between the foreign policy of John McCain and the foreign policy of Barack Obama? Of course we did, right? They were saying, in effect, the exact same thing. For the first time in 2016, we had a real choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, okay? Right. Of course, the American people chose Donald Trump despite every incentive and every pressure to not choose Donald Trump, the American people still chose Donald Trump. And of course, what did they do? They spent the next 4 years trying to destroy them. So the question is like, how do we do these things? You have to make the actual levers of government power accountable to the American people. And that means you've got to be able to fire bureaucrats who don't do their job. Right? This is like common sense. I mean, let me take like a very isolated example. If you were to poll, what percentage of Americans think that the VA should be more responsive to the healthcare concerns of American veterans? That's probably a 95% issue, okay? And I, you know, I'm a veteran myself. I served in the Marine Corps. I went to Iraq. I have gone through the VA healthcare system. And by the way, 92%, 95% of the people who work in the VA are great. But as you know, in any organization, if you have 5% of people who refuse to do their job and you can't get rid of them, they make it impossible for the 95% of people who are trying to do their job. And of course, the veterans suffer because of it. So why does the VA not work as well as the American people want it to? Because the 5% who don't do their job at the VA are calling the shots and making it harder on everybody else. And that basic story is true in our entire government. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, Donald Trump orders the Joint Chiefs of Staff to do a troop rotation in Syria. The Joint Chiefs of Staff lie to him. They actually stagger the troop redeployments in a way where it looks like they're obeying his orders when in actuality, they're actually disobeying his orders. Okay, every single person who was involved in that decision should be fired. You have to make the government...
How can the military in a democracy yeah. act... You know,
the commander in chief. The commander in chief tells you to do something.
We don't have civilian control of the military. That's the nightmare scenario. That's
and the people are starting to realize this. They're starting to realize that both sides of the political spectrum have done nothing but make empty promises, and were betrayed right and left from all sides, attacked on all fronts by our own political class in every way. There's an old saying: people go to Congress to do good, and they spend their time there making good. I think Jack Maxey told me that expression, something like that. And it's true. It's corrupting all of these people. And it's because there's a systemic problem. It's not just because the people in power are bad people. It's because the system is broken. The checks and balances are no longer there. Our forefathers never anticipated an unchecked fourth branch of government that is our intelligence community, where they can commit any crime anywhere in the world, no matter what, with basically infinite money. And nobody knows that they did it. And if they suspect that they did it, then they conduct an internal investigation on their own. And we're going to get into that conflict of interest on the other side with some of these recent reports from DeSantis and Matt Gaetz. But I want to show you an example of people who are left-leaning, influential, reasonable people who are waking up to this. This is clip number 28 of Dave Portnoy saying that what Dems have done is way worse than anything that Trump or the Republicans have done in recent years. Let's watch.
What the Democrats have done is far worse than really anything Trump has done, like in terms of not allowing a primary. To me, that's crazy. Like, I'm somebody who, if I liked a candidate in the Democratic side, I could have potentially voted for that person. Like, to not give people a choice, and they really still haven't figured out, well, was he not prepared? Like, is he not mentally aware? Can he not run? Is he too old? He just thought he was going to lose. The fear of you just thought he was going to lose is not a real answer. He ran. Like, you have to then let other people run. And if he's not mentally there, which I don't think he is, Kamala has known that, like, and she just lied about it forever. And then they kick him out. So there's so many problems I have with the way she never got a vote. Like, I don't know. You can say whatever you want about Trump. He won the Republican nomination by a landslide, fair and square. And Kamala did not. So to me, that's a major, major issue. Some of her past statements for me are just like nutty. And I don't like what's happened in a lot of Democratic states. So I would vote. I hope if she's elected, California and New York, those don't become what happens in the United States. I don't know that it will. I don't know that that much can change.
Is it hard to build a company of young, creative people in New York that abide by the culture that you want? Or do you find yourself pushing up against all kinds of things that you're just like, what are these people asking for? I don't get it.
No, because we hire. I think the hardest thing is just cost of living and taxes and things like that. For our employees to live in New York City, it's extremely expensive. We wouldn't run into the people who think and are proper employees for us. They're there. And by the way, we have across Barstool, we have super liberal, conservative, we have it all. And they clash internally like how normal humans would. But it's really the cost of living, like in taxes. And, you know, it's just really, really hard for a young person. You know, you could pay him $200,000 a year.
And he's right. I mean, it's disgusting that they had this primary, which wasn't a primary. It's not the first time they've done it, but it's definitely the most brazen instance of somebody being a candidate with zero votes. But the fact that Nancy Pelosi in this next clip has the audacity to say that it was an open primary, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Watch and see what you think.
You had reportedly said you wanted a sort of an open primary when if Joe Biden stepped down. Did you change your mind because you saw all the excitement around Kamala Harris?
No, I didn't change my mind. We had an open primary and she won it. Nobody else got in the race.
Oh,
because
please.
She was politically astute.
Please. Nobody else got in the race. RFK Jr. was running as a Democrat, and you took him off the ballots everywhere, so he forced him to run as an independent. Unbelievable, folks. I've got some more news on the other side. We're going to get into some of the recent reports from DeSantis and Matt Gaetz about these assassination attempts and the Iranian stuff going on. And I will be taking your calls at the bottom of the next hour. But in the meantime, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. We have partnered with an amazing company. We are giving away $138,000 Dodge truck. It's the most badass truck that I've ever seen. I don't know very much about trucks, but I'll tell you, riding in it was the second best feeling in the world. And we're giving $10,000 of cash with it for every purchase that you make, every dollar that you spend at thealexjonesstore.com on shirts, hats, great merchandise, and more coming every day. Enters you in to win this amazing truck. We're going to be announcing the winner on Halloween, I believe. So please support the InfoWar, enter to win this truck. And stay with us for more news on the other side. And don't forget, we've got great products at drjonesnaturals.com, great products at InfoWarsStore.com, health for your mind and your body in this InfoWar where humanity itself is under brazen attack. Stick with us for more news on the other side. Thank you.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, When you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalists. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. Encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most of these shirts come in multiple colors.
I'm